Whatever you want to do. Thank you, sir. Thanks, man. Hey, I love you, buddy. Thank you. You're very kind. Well, y'all have a seat. Get comfortable. Man, I look forward to this for a long time. Do you need me to talk for a minute to get used to this microphone? I'm pretty loud, huh? Well, man, how y'all doing? Do y'all have more fun in church than most people? Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. When I was a kid, I went to church and it was so boring. That music that my wife was talking about, everybody got a little frustrated when I started rocking back in the 70s and 80s. And they would do things, I know you can't relate to this at all, but they would listen to my records backwards. You know what I mean? There were people that actually had quote unquote ministries of listening to people's records backwards, and they were looking for the devil, like, you know what I mean? So they would listen to, like, the Rolling Stones had a record called Her Satanic Majesty's Request, and they're listening to it backwards. I'm thinking, if you listen to it forward, you'll hear more demonic stuff. Come on, man, this is crazy. You're just tearing up your record. But, you know, there was a crazy time, and they just basically, the church thought, we're just having too much fun. Now, every cool church on the earth has a great band, but in those days, they had like a piano or an organ and a choir that sang out of tune and a piano that played out of tune. And the music was like, have you ever heard the song, Bringing in the Sheaves? Anybody know what a sheave is? What's a sheave? We didn't know either. Like, what are we bringing in, dude? What? Yeah, you know, or just as I am. Well, I thought the whole idea of Christianity was to change, you know. So there was just a bunch of music that I couldn't relate to, and so we tried to do something about that, and thank God I believe we did. And I'm excited to be with you tonight. I'm 72. When you get invited to a place where you're twice as old as everybody else, this is cool. This is very cool. I get to hang out with people who can help keep me younger. And that's important. The last thing you want to do when you get old is not know it. You know what I mean? You get around some old people and they're just really old and they just don't know it. And the world has changed and they literally don't know it. And they're frustrated because it's not the way it was, but it never will be again. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So in order to really enjoy constant new life in Christ, you have to have a fresh vision. You have to wake up every day excited about something, you know, into something, all in on something. And I thank God that he's given me a word that I believe is very clear for you guys tonight. And I'm going to submit this to you. It's going to be an intense word. I can tell you right now. It's good news. It's good news, but it keeps doing that. I don't know why it keeps cutting in and out. Am I in a dead spot or something? Need the tech to getting my mojo working. Hello, hello.
Hi.
All right. So I'm going to get, I'm going to talk to you tonight about money. And the reason I'm going to talk to you about money is because you need lots of it. There is nothing worse than somebody being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed and whole. I mean, got everything God wants them to have and broke as a hand and can't do nothing. You know what I mean? Do you know any miserable Christians? Because I know lots of them. And it's not the will of God. Jesus came here from heaven. It's not like he was getting out of some bad neighborhood. He came here from heaven. And he came here, and according to him, he came that you and I would have abundant life in Christ. He came down here to bless the church, to bless anybody who trusted him, anybody who believed in him and loved him enough to do things his way. He came, according, he said, there is a thief. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil. He said, but I for this one reason, that you would have life and life more abundant. Now, abundant life and poverty and lack are two opposite things. Are we in agreement about this? There is no blessing in poverty and lack. There is a curse in not having any options for your family. There is a curse. The blessing is, if you're blessed, you can be a blessing. If you're blessed, you can take care of orphans and widows. If you can't even pay your own rent, you can't pay their rent. Does God want you blessed? Or did he just come here to forgive you of your sins? And by the way, think of what he went through to do that one thing. He came here from heaven, he lived for us, then he told us exactly what the Father said. He said, I only say what I hear him saying. So every word Jesus spoke was exactly what the Father said. He said, then I only do what I see him doing. He showed us what the Father's like by walking it out in front of us. And then he died for us. And then he went to hell for us so that we wouldn't have to, right? Suffered death, hell, and the grave, but he didn't stay there. He went to the devil, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, rose again. And these are the first words he said to his disciples when he rose again. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power. That's what Jesus said. If Jesus Christ had all the power, how much did the devil have left? Please get that revelation, because most of the church is afraid of the devil. But he doesn't have any power in your life unless you're afraid of him. In that case, give him your If you're afraid of him, you empower him. And fear hath torment, and he will torment you. But if you're not afraid of the devil, if you understand who you are in Christ, you're the big one in the room. And when the devil comes, he gets nervous when you're around, not the other way around. When you find out who you are in Christ, you are a believer. Then the believer in God has authority. So Jesus comes here from heaven. He lives for us, dies for us, then is raised again for us. He empowers us. At that point, he gives those disciples, he said, he had that conversation with, he said, all power has been given on me. And he basically said this, so I'm giving it to you. I've done everything I came here to do. It's finished. Everything that God sent, I gave you my name, my word, my blood, and my spirit. I whipped the devil for you. The Bible says that he took Satan and all of his demons and paraded them before God and the angels as a defeated foe. Is that what your Bible says? And then he said, I'm going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. I'm finished. So don't be begging me to do all kind of stuff because I'm finished. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Because half the church is still trying to talk him into doing more stuff because they don't want to do what he told them to do. So they want to rip him off and then blame it on him when they're poor. Want to vote on that one? There are people. I mean, here's what God said. You know. Okay, I'll be able to concentrate now. I think better. So Jesus raises from the dead. He gives them the Great Commission, and here's what he told them: go into all the world and teach and preach and make disciples. Now, there's people doing all kind of stuff in his name, but what he said do was go teach and preach. That's the only way to make disciples. You can do all kind of stuff in the name of Jesus, but if you want to make disciples, teach people how to follow Jesus, somebody's got to do some teaching and some preaching. Preaching and teaching are not the same thing. I'm a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm going to offer you guys some holy information. And some people are going to really like it, and they're going to go for it, and they're going to change their lives. Some people might not like it, and they're going to go out of here and say, that wasn't my flavor tonight, but it was a nice little Wednesday night service. And no, it's not Wednesday, is it? They all look alike to me. So here's the deal. I really studied and thought about this because, you know, when you're a minister, you have to counsel people all the time. And they come to you with their problems. And you know
what the biggest problems are because the most people talk about them. And when it comes to the things that Jesus did for us, he did those things perfectly. I mean, salvation, if you got enough faith to believe him for salvation, you got enough faith to believe him for anything. And according to him, he's given us a measure of faith. We all got a certain measure of faith, and anybody can have more. When the disciples went to Jesus and asked him, they asked him, give us more faith and increase our faith. And he said it this way. He said, if you had amount as a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed in the garden, but it's also the one that won't change. You can take an apple and a plum and put them together and create something. You can take an orange and a tangerine and you know what I mean? You can put all kind of stuff together and make something else, but a mustard seed will not combine with anything. But you can take that little teeny bit of faith that is unchangeable. If you had that, Jesus said, you would say to this mountain. That's how you increase your faith. You believe God and you start talking to stuff and talking to situations and you start releasing your faith. And according to him, you'll get more faith. So anybody can have more faith. But don't waste your time asking him for more because he didn't give them any and he ain't giving you any either. And that's the way it is with money. And we started out talking about money tonight because money's important. You guys are young. It is the will of God for y'all to enjoy being a Christian. It is the will of God for y'all to have a whole lot of fun serving God. God, do y'all believe God loves you? Yes. The Bible says God is love. Say it with me. God is love. Selah means stop everything. Pause and think about that. God loves you, and he decided not to live in some fancy big building that people make. He said, I decided I want to live in my people. So according to his word, if you're born again, who's born again? Let me see your hand. You're not ashamed of the gospel? Come on. If you're born again, according to God, he lives in you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's not off out there in space when you have a problem where you got to, oh God, come down off the throne or the cloud or wherever you're hanging today and be with me here and help me with my little deal here. According to him, I'm right there. So, you know, when you're out there in the garage and you hit yourself on the thumb with a hammer, be careful what you pray. He's always there. He never leaves when you say amen. He never goes back to the cloud. God never leaves you or forsakes you. He's always instantly available. And in fact, he is in constant communication with your spirit. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you are a spirit. And when you get to heaven, the Bible says you get a new body, a heavenly body. I'm looking forward to that baby. I got some miles on this unit. Come on, somebody. You know? I'm getting a skinny one. Eat biscuits all day. Come on. Krispy Kreme. But until we get to heaven, we are spirits. And by the way, everybody lives forever. People who live like hell and are going there, they still live forever. They just don't, we don't all go to the same address when we die. But everybody is a spirit, and the decisions that you make with your mind, your will, and your emotions affect your spirit more than anybody else. It'll affect your body and it'll affect your whole life. But you have to decide who you believe and what you believe, because being a miserable Christian is not the will of God. Being constantly challenged. And if you have wrong theology, you're going to not be a happy person. I mean, there are so many Christians that are depressed. There's so many Christians that are in constant fear and worry all the time and can't figure out what to do next. And, you know, and who just live in despondency. And it is the will of God that you're blessed. That's why, you know, Jesus spent... He fixed our spirits. Once you get born again, you're going to live forever. The problem is a lot of Christians, even though they're going to heaven, it's hell until they get there. They're just going through all kind of stuff every single day. The devil is just beating their brains out. And they come to church and they praise the Lord and they worship God. But unless they change the way they act and react, I mean, there's only a few kinds of, everybody falls in a few categories. You either live by faith or you live in fear, and there's nothing in between. If you worry ever about anything, you ain't in faith. Another category, you're either thankful or you're unthankful. There's no fence. Next time you hear somebody griping, remind them, you're being unthankful right now. God has forgiven me, and I deserve to go to hell. I'm so glad you don't know what I did. Rock and roll back in the 60s when I was in it, it was LSD wasn't illegal yet. I'll give you a little information. What they call mollies or ecstasy, those things were around. They just had different names at the time, but they were not illegal. If you got busted with them, they took them away from you, but they couldn't do anything. Birth control had just come out. That affected rock and roll a lot, trust me. And the world was changing. And I had gone to a Pentecostal church. And I don't know, I won't even go into much detail. I'll just tell you, it was the Christian Olympics. It was every man for himself, man. When my granddad was a preacher. So when he started, and he was just a nice little country guy. If you were over at his house, grandma, pass the biscuits, honey. That's the way he talked. But if he got in the pulpit, that's when Dr. Jekyll came out. Or maybe it was Mr. Hyde. I can't remember. I get them mixed up. But once he started, bless God, once he started his rhythm going, then it was just a matter of time until Screaming Man did his thing, and then Running Man took off, and then Chicken Woman jumped up. Woo! And then it was the rolling and the rocking, and when you're 5 years old, you just hope nobody lands on you. And you can't get any info. Mama, why is that guy, looking like he's having a fit? Well, since mama don't know, the bottom line is, dude's having a fit. Why does the Holy Ghost get the blame for that? Ain't nothing wrong with running around the church. If you want to run, take off, have fun. But our kids need to know what we do because we want to and what the Holy Spirit's doing, because he's not a clown. The Holy Spirit's not a joker. Everything he does has purpose. Everything he does is phenomenally wonderful and helps us to know the exact perfect plan of God and to accomplish it in the earth. And man, there is no greater adventure on this earth. I have been around this world a bunch of times, and I made a whole mess of money. And when you do that, there's a lot of options available to you. And so I saw the world at high speed. I got as high as you can get without dying. And all I can tell you is I am so thankful it's over. And in 1980, I found what I'd been looking for all my life. And it was so, and I got born again, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. The one thing that I had always been afraid of, I had told God when I was about, maybe 12, I don't want to go to hell. I believe in Jesus, and I do not want to go to hell. But if it's all right with you, I'm going to pass on that Holy Ghost thing because there's some weird stuff going on there. And God got the blame for everything. Now, I'm telling you this because when your granddad is a preacher, then all your aunts and uncles, half the church is kin to you. Which means you know what's going on Sunday and on Wednesday night, but you also know what they're doing on Friday night. And if you know that, there was some inconsistency. What is Chicken Woman doing getting drunk on Friday night? And ever since, you know what I mean? At some point, doing the chicken ain't helping any. Even a 10-year-old knew that. Well, if it's of God to do something, then he has a purpose in it. He's never just messing around. He does not want people playing church and getting religious. He wants to have a relationship with his children. And according to him, wisdom is the principal thing, which means that everything he wants me and you to do is to live a wise life and make wise decisions. Amen? Amen. So I questioned a lot of things, good, bad, or ugly. I'm just fessing up, you know. That's what I did. Now, this thing that I'm talking about tonight, finances, I call it faith for finances, and here's why. Because people get mixed up with the prosperity, what they call the prosperity message, you know, and they've come after Brother Copeland, good Lord, they come after everybody that's not living in a trailer. If you're a Christian and you've done anything good for Jesus and you're not starving and in total, you know what I mean, if you're not Mother Teresa, they're coming after you. They're coming over with a helicopter to see your house. Well, they're welcome to come look at mine. I got a nice one, and that baby's paid for. And I don't care. I don't mind them. You know what I mean? They can do whatever they want to because I'm not living for them. I'm not a man pleaser. I'm trying to please God. And if I do please God, then here's the bottom line. When you talk about finances, you're not talking about receiving finances. You're talking about giving finances. The prosperity message is not about me getting money. The prosperity message is because I believe that God is good and because I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I put his kingdom before mine. And how do you do that? That means, hey, I got X amount of dollars coming to my house and I need it because I got to pay my debts and I got to pay my bills and I got to pay Caesar what Caesar and I got to do this and that and other and I got to take care of my mother's a widow and I got a lot of responsibility. But the first 10% I come in contact with because I'm in love with Jesus, that's not even in consideration. I would not consider buying something that would put pressure on me and stop me from putting that 10% into the kingdom of God next week. Now, once you make that decision, you've crossed over into another realm. You have become financial partners with Almighty God to build his kingdom. That means, what does that mean to build his kingdom? That means I am financially putting everything he wants, the will of God, before anything Mylon wants. Did you get that? Because most people don't understand the prosperity message at all. Even though it will prosper you, it will. You will prosper if you do this properly. If you don't do it properly, if you just try to work it and your heart's not in it, then God loves, what kind of giver?
Cheerful.
If your heart's not in it, you're just going to be hoping this works. You know, I'm going to put a little bit in there, boy. I hope this works because I need something by Thursday. You know, I got something going on here. No, it won't work. He won't let you manipulate him. Everybody else has, but God is not stupid. He is not mocked, is the way the Bible says it. He knows our intent and our purpose. But if I'm a cheerful giver, that means I want unsaved people to get to heaven. Well, who is it we want to go? Because if we had our choice, we'd take some nice people. Y'all know, come on, y'all know. I know what y'all are thinking right now. Think about it. No, it's not my will, but thine be done. In other words, if you want to get the worst heathen in Texas and get that rascal saved, that's what I want, God. Take my money that I worked hard for, that I really need, and get that sucker. And let's drag his sorry self to heaven. That was close, Judy. Man, I almost missed it on that one. So So, I mean, you got to decide. Here's some stats. I was ministering this out in Oregon, and this guy, I sent it the notes to the pastor. Pastor came in that morning with these notes. So let me read them to you right quick. Number one problem cause of stress and anxiety in America is finances. Number one cause of divorce in America. This is tag team preaching. Y'all got to do y'all's part. Number one cause of mental breakdowns in America is? Number one problem concerning influence, especially wrong influence, is related to? The guy in the hood selling dope, driving the coolest car in the hood, he has influence. Number one single subject or topic discussed in the Word of God. Almost a third of everything Jesus said. Y'all got one of the Bibles. Brother Copeland's got one of those with red words, where Jesus talking in the red words. 30% of the hot stuff is about money, possessions. It's about finances. Out of 31,100 verses, 2,300 are about finances. Out of the 39 parables Jesus taught, 25 deal with finances. So here's what Jesus did. He went to hell for us to make sure that we didn't have to go. He was raised again. He took those stripes on him. He didn't have to let him beat him. But he took those stripes so that by his stripes we could be healed. Everything, the suffering that he went through, he allowed those Roman soldiers to beat him and to pierce his side and to put those nails in him and to make fun of him and spit on him and beat him in the face until the Bible says you couldn't even recognize who he was. And people think he went through all of that just so we could get saved, and then he's going to leave us in some miserable trailer in the middle of nowhere with no hope of ever having any fun. Can't do anything wonderful for our wives and kids. All we can do is just scramble. I remember when I was a kid, you know, in my neighborhood, do y'all know anything about Poe? Let's see if you only know about being poor, you don't know nothing about being Poe. Come on, this is on the other side of the tracks. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We were barefooted in the summertime, and I wasn't the only kid. Everybody in the neighborhood was barefooted. We got a pair of shoes in the winter, and at Christmas, in the hood I grew up in, you got something like your mother would get an ironing board for Christmas. You never get what you wanted, you got what you had to have, because on your birthday, you get socks. Who wants socks for their birthday? You want a glove for the team, right? You want something fun, some ice skates or something. No, it's not our neighborhood. The cars had, y'all are too young. Yeah, I'm just wasting my time now. Back in the day, people would go to like a junkyard. If they had a car wreck and the door on the back door on the car was messed up, they'd go to the junkyard and buy a door. And hopefully, you know, you'd be thinking, well, surely they're going to paint it. The car's red, the door's green, come on. No, I'm talking about there were no cars in my neighborhood where all the doors were the same color. Now, there were some where they were all maroon, but a lot of Bondo on the door. You know what I mean? Y'all don't know. Okay. Just a funky neighborhood, you know? Nobody went to college. Nobody. I ain't talking about graduating. Ain't ever been on the campus. So I grew up in a lot of poverty. And, and then Elvis came along. I was in the Army. I was making $84 a month. That's what they paid a private in the Army in 1962. $84, not a week, a month. And then Elvis cut one of my songs. And Elvis was the biggest star in the world at the time. And all of a sudden, I got a check from Elvis Presley Music, and I went and bought a Corvette, a Harley, a Martin D28 guitar, a speedboat and a trailer, two pair of Levi's, and some leather Converse All-Stars on a Thursday. It was Thursday. Paid cash for all of it. Had everything I'd ever dreamed of having. Didn't have an apartment. Didn't want one. I went and got an apartment the next day. Pulled my Harley in the living room there. Put my sleeping bag down and slept beside my Harley every day. About a week later, I bought a stereo set in those days. And eventually a TV. But a bowl or a lamp, you know what I mean? I just didn't think that way. It's probably 6 months before I bought a couch. I just wanted to be mobile. Anyway, I went into, you know, a gospel group and didn't really get to. I'm running out of time. I got to stop that. Let me get into some word for you. I mean, I'm just been. Okay. Let me say this to you. When you are in a fight of faith, and if you decide to be a giver, you're going to create some warfare in your mind and in your heart. And you're going to, because it doesn't make sense. You know, I read a book by a guy, really, really good, cool book. Let me find it. I took some notes here that I'll share with you that are so cool. It was about the blessed life. It says, God is a God of order. Of course, we know that. And his way is the only way. He said, I am the way. And if we do things his way, we will be blessed for it. Does anybody believe that? If you obey God, will God pull the rug out from under you while you're doing everything he told you to do? No. If you believe that, then don't ever say he's a good God again. If he would take advantage of you and rip you off, he is not a good God. He doesn't do that. Anybody that's ever implied that, that is not true. There is a thief. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. Satan, bad. God, good, right? God, good. Devil, bad. If you don't know that, you won't resist the devil. If somebody convinces you that God does bad stuff, then you'll accept the bad stuff. And the devil has, you know, got a whole lot of Christians thinking, I mean, when I was a kid, it was implied at our church, since we were all poor and nobody was willing to be a giver and a tither, nobody wanted to do things God's way, so we had all these excuses. And the bottom line was, our greatest excuse for having nothing was to be humble. Well, I think it'd be a whole lot better to be rich and humble than to be poor and humble. I mean, if that's the only way you can be humble is to not have anything to be proud of, then I guess it, you know, be poor. But it'd be a whole lot better for your family and for the kingdom of God for us to humble ourselves. How easy is that? That is so easy. All it means is I recognize that all good things come from above. I didn't earn anything. You think I got Elvis to cut my song? I didn't know Elvis. All the amazing things that have ever happened in my life, God did them for me because he loves me. I didn't talk him into anything. None of those things were results of my prayers. Because I prayed, most of my prayers were selfish prayers, and a lot of yours have been too. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just saying, I spent most of my life trying to talk God into doing what I thought was best. Lord, I'm going to do this here, and you know, and I need some money to do it because this is ministry. Man, this is your kingdom, you know, I'm building here, so you need to do it. And I would try to talk him into it in prayer. He told me, son, he said, stop talking to me about money. One day the Lord said this to me, stop talking to me about money. He said, I told you what to do about it, and I gave you total control. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Total control. Let's look at Luke 6 and verse 38, please. If you have your Bible with you or if you take notes. Luke 6, 38, you all could probably quote this scripture. Give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, do you get this? Whatever you measure, in other words, if you give sparingly, it will be given back to you sparingly. If you don't give at all, you have no reason to believe that anything's going to be given to you. But if you give generously, God said you would get to reap generously. Is that correct? So whether you reap generously or not, is it up to God? We have total control. I can reap as generously as I want to. All I have to do is give a whole lot. And not just every once in a while, every day. If you get, you know, people think, well, you know, boy, one of these days my ship's coming in. Not if you didn't send one out. According to my Bible, reaping always comes after sowing. It always does. It never, you know, people are saying, there are people right now telling God in prayer, in churches all over the world, Lord, if you'll help me just close this deal on Monday, I'll give to the church and I'll do this and that. And they're lying. He said, you won't be faithful in little things. You're not going to be faithful. If I help you close that deal, you're already selfish. You don't trust me already. You're not going to be any, you're not going to change any. You're still trying to talk me into blessing you anyway when I already told you what I will bless and what I won't bless. In other words, people are saying, I don't like the way you're being God today. And I want to be God. Don't tell me what to do. I'm telling you what to do. I'm coming in the name of